plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Welcome to Ghosts in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today, I have two interesting guests on. They are co-hosts of Mother Daughterish podcast, Dawn and her daughter, Angelique. They have some very interesting stories and fantastic messages that they will share with us today. I'll be back with my conversation with Dawn and Angelique from Mother Daughterish podcast. After these brief messages,
the Mother Daughter-ish podcast and YouTube TV show is all about the conversations that mothers and daughters have, the conversations they don't like to have, and the conversations that just have to be discussed. Join us on all podcasting platforms. Watch our show on YouTube. Hey, guess what? It's your mama's favorite podcast and the podcast your daughter is so glad she found. Check out the Mother Daughter-ish podcast and YouTube TV show.
Today I have Miss Dawn Bobbs on the show today. Dawn is enthusiastic. She's an entrepreneur, a podcast host, an author of many books, and a motivational speaker. And we also have Dawn's daughter, Angelique, on the show tonight. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
And did I get all that right? You are a author of many books?
Only 25, but wow. Yes. The answer to that is yes. I got the writing fever and something happened. Then it just kind of took off from there, you know, from not having a book at all to just going ahead and doing it and realizing that I could write it in, you know, a few days and be done. And most of my books are business books. They're kind of how to. It's really just the information I needed to get out of my head and onto paper so that, you know, it didn't haunt me. So, yeah.
Yeah. After 40 years of doing the paranormal, I'm writing my first book.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's on my experiences in the house I grew up in as a teenager for 4 years, you know. So it's based on those 4 years.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Being a songwriter myself and a musician, you know, I'm used to the publishing and copyrights and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And podcasting, you know. But authorship, that's a little bit different ballpark. You know, like
what you'll notice is when you do your book, you're gonna see that so many other doors are gonna start to open for you, because I never knew that that was the way. I thought you had to set up everything separately. But once I wrote my first book in 2008, then people wanted me to come and speak at events. They wanted me to do workshops for them. People wanted to hire me to do consulting. I mean, just, you know, 10 or 15 things spawned just from me writing the first book. And my first book was 7 days of networking. And I was just talking about how that could grow your income, your influence, and your social skills. And I just did it because I needed to get the information out of my head. So you'll see when you write your book, that may turn into a documentary. You may end up on some talk shows. You may end up as a commentator. I'm telling you, don't say I didn't warn you.
Well, I thank you for the advice.
Don't say I did not warn you, because it's a beautiful thing to see that thing that you can bring out of your brain and onto paper can turn into so many opportunities, but, you know, really great ones. And a lot of people also will read your book and they'll want to purchase it from you to do a movie or a story about it. So I'm telling you, things happen.
Start out, just tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, then we'll get to Angelique.
Awesome. So I have been an entrepreneur since 1998, and I absolutely love being able to not only control my own time, but to write my own paycheck. I left corporate America after 10 years and decided well, there's something else I'm supposed to be doing. Well, problem, I didn't know what that something else was. So I started a business that made sense to me, which was my first business, which was opening up a childcare center. And then from there, it just went into so many other ways. And in the end here, I am doing exactly what I started out doing, which is consulting, but just in a different realm. I am a business development consultant. So people come to me with their ideas and I show them how to earn money on it, or I show them a different way that they can take that idea and use it. Just like I gave you the example about, you know, how you can take a book and turn it into 12 incomes. That is the type of thing that I do with my clients every day. But then also I help a lot of individuals to develop their 501c3 nonprofit organizations so that they can go out and do all of the things that they want to do to add that to setting up their legacy, but then also how to get the grant money, how to get all of the things to pay for it, how to monetize on just everything that they do. Just like you and I as podcasters, we can take our podcast and monetize on that and take that into so many other realms of, in the end, if we decide we want a TV show, we could do that. But guess what? Since we're all on YouTube now, we actually do have TV shows.
Yeah. And things have changed so much over the past.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah.
Oh, just the past 20 years, really.
I was about to say that if you really think about it, in the last 5 to 7 years, we've seen a massive change with people going toward more individual media and news and entertainment instead of mainstream media entertainment and all of that. So if you think about it, it has really, and think about where we're going to even be in 5 to 7 years from now.
Right. Yeah. You know, when I started out in podcasting in 2019, mm-hmm. There was like 250,000 podcasters out there.
Right. I was looking at a story the other day and it says over 150,000 podcasts are created every single year. And I said, oh my goodness, because I had my first podcast in 15, 16, and 17. I just finished doing a television show on local TV here called The Fobs Business Review. And from there, I went into the podcasting space. And back then, it was like, oh my gosh, I got to do this podcast. It's going to be awesome. Everybody's going to hear me, blah, blah, blah. The only thing back then I didn't figure out that I know now was how to take it and really, really, really monetize it and get it on all the channels and even, you know, add a YouTube element. So I didn't know all of that. But now that I've taken that time to figure out where I want to fit in the podcast sphere right now, it's like, okay, it's on at this point, because now I know every single thing that I need to know to make it what I want it to be this time around. And I'm glad to be able to do it with my daughter now, because the first time around, it was just all me, you know, interviewing millionaires and billionaires and talking about what it is that makes them tick.
After the station break, you're going to share some paranormal related story with us, right?
Very interesting.
Angelique, is that how you say Angelique?
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and where you're headed with your mother.
Yes. I mean, my introduction won't be, you know, that lengthy, but I am on the way to having a lot of things under my belt right along with my mom. But I'm 27 years old, just definitely finding my way, definitely in life and all other aspects. I've been back in Houston for about a year now. And I'm definitely figuring out that a 9-to-5 is not for me. So it was really right on time, perfect timing, when my mom came to me at 12 o'clock in the morning, told me about, you know, her idea about us doing a podcast. And I'm really just taking it and running with it and treating it as if it's a full-time job, doing what we have to do and learning things along the way. But yeah, I'm definitely realizing, and I had to realize the hard way, but it's been about since 2017. I've been in the call center industry. After working with and for my mom. But a 9-to-5 is definitely not for me, in my opinion.
You said your mom woke you up at 12 a.m.?
She sent me a text message about 12 o'clock in the morning. I tell her 12:04 to be exact, but she told me about her ideas. And when I called her the next day to talk about it, we started talking about meetings. And we've been meeting about every Tuesday, multiple times a week sometimes, just like this week as well. But when she told me the idea, you know, I thought it was just another idea that she usually has almost every day. But when I came to her house and sat down and realized that she was very, very serious, and I saw how many pages she had already of brainstorming ideas in her binder, I knew that she was 150% definitely serious about this.
And what's the podcast going to be about?
So the podcast is called Mother-Daughter-ish. And basically, it's a podcast by women for women. Our goal in the end, I always like to talk about the end result. Our goal in the end is to create a community of 1 million women. And what we're going to be doing is talking about every single thing that you never thought you could talk about with your daughter, and every single thing you never thought you could talk about with your mom. We're going to be talking about things like, what was it like on the day that you were born? You know, what was it like when you first realized that adulting was exactly what you did not know it was going to be about, like, just all of those conversations. And we even have something out for the young ladies. We have like a princess program where we have the membership program through Patreon, where for our members that'll have very exclusive conversations over there with their membership, we're going to be sending out 1,000 boxes a year to those individual young ladies that are under 12 years old. And they'll get a little box from us that has some really wonderful things for young ladies. You know, they'll have a crown in there. They'll have a journal in there. Just some things to let them know that, hey, you know, have these conversations with your mom, be able to be comfortable enough to ask anything you want. So we're going to share a lot of stories. We've got just so much information that we want to be able to build this community with women. But in the end, Al, what we want to do is help them to create the conversation, get it started. We want to create the topic, but we want them to get it started. So it'd be a great way for mother and daughter or mother and daughters are on a road trip. It would be a great conversation piece.
Awesome. And you're going to release this next month?
Actually, we put a sneak peek out for the people that are already following us on our social handles, but we put a sneak peek out today. And the official one is going to start September the 1st, but we put one out today that's called the inauguration. And so we're just talking about how this idea even came to, you know, make it happen. But then we're talking about, you know, just what our show is going to be about. And then the original first podcast will be on September the 1st, and it'll be on every platform you can think of that hosts podcasts. But then also we have added the YouTube element to it. And the YouTube element to it is that on Wednesdays and Sundays, we're going to have our regular shows. But on Saturdays, we're going to do some hotspot reviews where we'll go to different restaurants, you know, places that women like to shop in, certain stores or independent boutiques and spas and all this stuff. And, you know, we'll do reviews at these different places. And what it's really about is how that experience was for us. We're not there to say if the food was good. We're not there to say if the drinks were bad. We're not there to say if the spa was clean. We're there to say, how did it make us feel to do it?
Awesome.
Mother, daughter, ish, ISH. And the reason it's the ISH is because I don't use cuss words. So when I sent her the text that night, as she says at 12:04, it said mother, daughter, and it had the curse word. And I thought, well, no, the way I want to monetize this and the way I want to pull in all of, you know, the elements of, you know, sponsorship and all of that, I can't use that word because I don't want to alienate anyone who would be offended. So I thought, you know what, there's a slang word that I can use that most people will understand exactly what we mean. And for those who don't understand, that's okay.
You know, and I found out in this podcasting business, you know, it's easy to offend people.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to respect their opinion. But so, you know, I understand it's you're always going to get some type of flack.
And it's okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that positive attitude that you put out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the thing about I'm going to tell you what I love really about the podcasting space is that because we're all just regular humans out here, like we didn't go to school to get these degrees to do this. We didn't get pulled up the ranks in the corporate world. We didn't, you know, we didn't do all of that. So what I love about the podcasting space is that any single person in the world can just click a few little buttons, do a little background work, get up there and talk about whatever they are. Guess what? If I don't believe in what you're talking about, that's okay. But guess what? I might learn something still by listening to what you have to say. Rather, it's me learning what you think or me learning what I really believe. And that's where people have to kind of take it and, you know, run with it in that era instead of saying, oh my God, I can't believe you have a podcast and you talked about God and you talked about spirits and like, okay, get over yourself and let me have my opinion and put it out in the world, because whether I'm saying it on the podcast or not, I still feel this way. So I wish people would just kind of be mature enough to handle it like that. But I do know that that's only in a perfect world, which I don't know about that.
Right. And, you know, after coming off this treacherous last year of not only dealing with COVID, but the election year, you know, how much hatred was put out there via social media, and how you can say something mm-hmm. to somebody you probably wouldn't say to their face. You mm-hmm. know, and even myself included, I'm disappointed in myself for some of the things I reacted on.
Right.
I just keep my mouth shut. But, you know, throughout my whole life, that's what got me in trouble was as my mother put in my mouth.
Me too. I understand.
Speaking of my opinion, you know, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to throw out a few quotes. I looked through a little bit of your Facebook history. And so I want to throw out a few of your quotes. I really caught my interest, you know.
Yeah.
You can respond on it.
Okay, great.
Believe in yourself.
Yes. You know what? That's one of my biggest ones. And the reason I do, I have two that I really love, the Believe in Yourself and I Love My Life. I think that if you believe in yourself, that nobody can really offend you. Nobody can break you down. No one can really hurt your feelings. You just know that they haven't grown to whatever level you feel like you've grown to. And so if they say something, you let them be who they are and you keep moving on, because no one should be able to take their opinion and change your opinion if you really believe. You know, belief is something that is a big thing. It's not just a, I think. No. Do you believe? And that's just the end of that.
I prefer positivity all day.
That's right. You know, that word prefer, it kind of shakes me to the core. Let me tell you why, because you hear a lot of things about people saying, well, you know, like you don't have the right to say that, or you don't have the right to date that type of person, or you don't have the right to choose that you only want to, you know, do a certain type of thing. We all have a preference. And just because my preference offends you, or my preference makes you not like me, or my preference makes you question your abilities, that's on you. Has nothing to do with me. But I know what I prefer. And I tell people all the time, I'm allergic to negativity. So when I say I prefer positivity all day long, that means that if you're not providing that, we're not around each other. Not for long anyway.
Right. 100%. Your other one is get more hugs.
Oh yeah. I like that one. I got that. Let me tell you what happened is that when my oldest son turned 17, I took him to New York City, and there's a guy called the Naked Cowboy. And then
I seen him.
Yeah. He's been around for a long time. And the Naked Cowboy, if you give him a hug, then you have to give him a tip. Well, you know, he was quite good looking, Al. So I gave him a hug and then I gave him a tip. And I was like, man, that was a good hug. He said, I'm going to give you a couple of more hugs for free. And so my son was like, so you tell me, he stands there with the guitar and in his underwear with a hug thing and gets tips and like he makes a living. I said, no, that's an entire corporation. He's trademarked and everything. Like this is a real corporation you're looking at. And so all day long, we were just hugging and hugging and hugging different people. And hugs do make you feel good. I mean, I just think that if you don't get at least about 5 to 10 hugs a day, then you're really doing a disservice. And I can see if you're at home, like with COVID, we've all been really at home or whatever. But I'm just saying, when you're in a group of people, you're networking, you're around your family, you've got really close people that you hang with. I mean, I'm from Texas. We greet with a hug no matter who we meet. I will tell you, I have to remember not to hug people when I go to certain countries, because the custom is to not do that. So I have to make sure that I read up on those customs so that I don't do that. Like I took my other son to Japan for his 18th graduation from high school. We knew you don't do that. You don't do that in Japan. So I have to always remind myself that not to take my Texas everywhere I go, which is really, really, really hard. I have to tell you, it's really hard.
Yeah. And your other one was, I love my life.
I do. I really do. I love it because I am the one who creates it. I am the one that decides what I want to do every single day that's going to help me to do the things I can do the next day. I'm the one that makes those decisions. And at any moment, I can decide, you know what, I'm doing nothing today. Well, guess what? If I don't do anything, I'm not going to get anything. So if I'm okay with that, then I'll just do nothing. But I do love the life that I've created for myself. And it's just getting better because I get to choose. You know, I like the fact of being able to choose if I want to be happy, if I want to be positive, if I want to sulk all day or whatever. But yeah.
And you had mentioned about taking your son to Japan.
Yes.
So I have in here, you've been to quite a few interesting places, you know.
I have.
New Mexico, Italy.
Yes.
Chicago.
Yes.
Yes. Rides on Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Angelique, what are you going to bring to the podcast?
I'm definitely going to bring in, as far as a perspective, because I have personally a lot of friends who have either relationships with their mom that they're trying to repair. I have friends with their mom. And I have friends that have relationships with their mom that they have really good relationships and could, you know, teach me and other friends pointers as well. And I have a lot of friends that have different things that we're going to talk about. So I also have a lot of topics that I brought up with my mom that we've either pre-recorded or just talked about to kind of make skits with. And, you know, I'm teaching her things and she's teaching me things. It's some topics that I've come up with that she had no idea about. So it's going to be a learning factor for both of us. And, in another way, it's going to be a form of therapy. So I'm definitely thankful for this opportunity and, you know, the time that we're going to be able to do this.
I'm still learning. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's great when you can learn every day. Mm-hmm. You can learn off another podcast and you're mm-hmm. don't come on here and say, oh, I'm the best podcaster or, mm-hmm. you know, there's people below, you know, I don't dig that. You know, I'm here to share people's opinions and their views on their stories. And since it's paranormal, you know, I can go from UFO to Bigfoot mm-hmm. to spirits to fae to, mm-hmm. You know, it's a huge, huge field. Yeah. So I'm not here to judge anybody. You know, I love positive attitudes mm-hmm. And my sister, she's a pastor and she's always says, just don't put that negativity out there. You know,
mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, keep from out in that universe, you know? Yeah.
Right. It's one of the reasons I believe what your sister says. It's one of the reasons I stopped watching regular TV. It's one of the reasons I don't have cable. I don't have any of my local channels. I do not watch the news. If I want to know what's going on, I wait for my mom to call me and tell me. Other than that, I have no idea what's going on because I cannot stand it. I used to go to bed at night and this was 20 something years ago. I'd watch the local news and I'm telling you, you wouldn't be able to sleep at night sometimes just hearing the crazy things that people would be doing. But got rid of my regular TVs, I guess now about 5 to 7 years ago. And I will never look back and go back to watching regular TV because you're right. Your sister's right. You get negativity coming into you. It stays in your spirit. And I can't do it.
Right. You know, watching CNN or
oh my goodness,
Fox News or, you know, it's just like, you know, we found if we just turn the TV off, you know,
yes,
they just fill you with hatred.
Right. I mean,
from one side or the other, you know.
Right. And, right.
So how many books have you? I mean, you've already said you went over, 25 books?
I have 25 books that are up and published on Amazon, and I have 27 sitting over on my desk ready to be published with covers. Now, the reason that I have those books is because about 3 years ago, I decided that I wanted to have 50 books at 50. Well, I'm turning 50 in 2022. So those other 20-something books have got to be published because it's on my bucket list to finish that. And when I write something down, oh, I'm going to finish it. So those books have been written. They're already edited. They're ready to go. They just need a cover on them and the back stuff that you have to do to get it up on Amazon. But that was a goal that I'd set for myself about 3 years ago. I said, I'd like to have 50 books by 50. And, you know, I'm going to meet or maybe even exceed that goal. But I do a lot of business consulting with different types of people, a variety of topics, a variety of opportunities around the world. So a lot that I've been able to teach my clients on how to be successful at certain things, I'll write about them. And so once I start writing about them, it almost becomes like a how-to. You can do it, you know, kind of like on your own without even having to really pay someone to do it. 9 times out of 10, they're going to come and have somebody pay anyway because they can read all day long, but they still don't want to really put the work that we do behind the scenes. You know this, Al, everybody wants a podcast, right? But does mm-hmm. everybody want to do the work that it takes to get it on the air? No. They're not consistent enough to make it really happen. And they're still working their 9-to-5 job, which conflicts with what they really love, mm-hmm. which is the podcasting. That's why they're out.
Right.
So those books, I write books to help people to really, really increase their legacy of whatever it is that they're trying to do. I mean, I've written books to teach people where the money is once you get a nonprofit organization. Here's where the money is. Would you be willing to go after it? I'm telling them, you know, these are programs that are fundable. I mean, just all kinds of information. And my books, like I said, they are all informational. They're educational. They're really to help people to grow. And even I wrote a book years ago called How Many Frogs Do I Have to Kiss? It wasn't even about it wasn't even about what people thought it was about. What it was about is what we learn in relationships, but also what we teach people in relationships. So, you know, I like to just give analogies of certain things, but then also teach people. But my main thing is I really want people to just think, like, ask yourself the same question that I'm answering about myself and see if you have an answer for that. It creates stories. It creates conversation. It creates, you know, opportunities for experience. So I like all of that.
Yeah. The one that caught my attention was 7 Minutes to Success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The 7 Minutes to Success, that one was a really fun one. That's where you see me in Chicago. We had our book launch there at an event called Podcast Movement. So we went to the big Podcast Movement event and then created our own meetup and event there within the hotel and everything. So we were surrounded by not only thousands of people from Podcast Movement, but then we had our own group of like 250 people who were there to help us celebrate that book, which is, I tell you, it was really fun. I did it with a wonderful gentleman by the name of Lyman Montgomery over in Indiana. And that was a great opportunity. I have people call me all the time and say, hey, I'd like to partner up with you on a book. And if I see they're serious and I tell them, hey, if we write this book, we have to do it in 3 days, that's when they back off. This gentleman here, when I said, oh, we have to do it in 3 days, I said, and he said, why? I said, because I don't, you know, make things long and drawn out. We either know what we're talking about or we don't. And he buckled up and we were on that phone every day from 2:30 a.m. until 9 a.m. And we had it done in 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I came across a clip on your channel. It was the Ellis Hall clip. I love that song.
Oh my goodness. Was it the Stuck on Miss Dawn song? My theme song to my podcast that I did in 2015, 16. Let me tell you something about Ellis Hall. He is amazing. His wife is an awesome lady that I met. And don't laugh at us, but we met in 2005 on MySpace. 7 years ago, she married this awesome gentleman by the name of Ellis Hall. He was actually a Ray Charles protege. Ray Charles trained him, and they just both happened to be blind. I mean, but he trained them as far as on the music and the industry and all of that. But when I told his wife, Layala, that I really needed a theme song, she says, oh, Ellis will do it. And I went, you mean I'm going to have a theme song from an Academy nominated writer and, you know, been in the industry for 40 years? I was like, oh, yeah, I'll take it. So he wrote that song for me. And I'm telling you, he sang that song like there was no end. And I played it everywhere I went. People call me to speak on stages. That was my theme song to get on, you know, to the mic.
And I was just curious, did he write that song just for you?
He wrote that song just for me. I didn't even give him, I told him the name of the podcast, and I didn't even tell him what I wanted it to say, how I wanted it to sound, what I wanted the beat to flow. Like, I didn't say a word. I just said, thank you so much. That was it. He did that amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That was amazing.
We're going to be right back with you telling your paranormal story right after these brief messages.
The Mother Daughter-ish podcast and YouTube TV show is all about the conversations that mothers and daughters have, the conversations they don't like to have, and the conversations that just have to be discussed. Join us on all podcasting platforms. Watch our show on YouTube. Hey, guess what? It's your mama's favorite podcast and the podcast your daughter is so glad she found. Check out the Mother Daughter-ish podcast and YouTube TV show.
The promo you just heard was from the Mother Daughterish podcast. What I really love about that promo is Dawn and Angelique wrote the song and produced it. And when an artist can do something like that and come up with their own theme song and put it together and design their logo, and they're not relying on other people to do the work for them. So I wanted to do the promo again to honor their creativity in making that song. So back to my interview with Dawn and Angelique from the Mother Daughterish podcast.
Okay, welcome back, ladies. I'm talking with Dawn and Angelique. They have a new podcast coming out. Yeah, we were talking before the break. You had paranormal story that you'd like to share with us?
Well, one thing I can tell you is that even my daughter, she'll tell you, I used to not like it at all when they would watch those paranormal activity shows. And what are some of the others, Angie, that y'all used to like to watch?
I really can't remember the name of the movie at the moment, but it'd be a lot of movies with like Ouija boards other than all the paranormal activity ones. I used to be into stuff, yeah, with like exorcism, all that kind of stuff. I used to be into that like really heavy.
Yeah, they used to love to watch like paranormal activity and all that stuff when they were younger. And then there was a couple of reality shows that had it on there. But for me, I never looked at the big gamut of what paranormal activity meant. I just thought that it was the weird stuff I saw in those movies, right? Mm-hmm. Which kind of made me not like it. But what happened is that when I started to expand my brain of thinking, well, that's not just that. It's also some things that I had already experienced. For example, I can just be minding my business and I'll get a particular smell that will just come across my nose. And I'll tell my, like one time I was with my mom and I got a smell and I was like, wow, that smells like, you know, so-and-so's kitchen or, you know, that, and this person has been gone for years, but I remember what their kitchen smelled like. To me, that used to just kind of like go over my head, like, okay, so it happened. So what? But then when I started paying attention to it, it was like, well, no, wait a minute. Why would I all of a sudden smell that person's kitchen and know exactly who that is? You know, like why would that even happen? So to me, that's always strange. But now it's normal for me to be able to say, oh, wow, you know, that right there happened. And that made me remember, like I about a few weeks ago, I had a smell that came across, and it's always having to do with smell. I've never like seen anything. I've never done anything like that. Now I have been in a space where I felt like there was another spirit there, but it was never threatening, always friendly, always felt like light instead of darkness, always felt like not be afraid or whatever. But for me, mostly it's a smell that'll come across and it will remind me of someone. I've had my godmother died when I was 17 years old. And every now and then I can tell you, I remember what her home smelled like, because the smell will just come across and it's very, very faint, like just a little something. And it just disappears. And I'm just like, okay. And what I say to myself now is I acknowledge that and I thank you. And then I just kind of move on about my day, because I've never had anything that freaked me out. Now, again, those movies used to freak me out, but I've never had anything in my life that seemed so weird that it freaked me out. But then also I look at paranormal activity almost too, when you're listening to your inner spirit on how to guide you through your day on things, because I know that within me, I've got a lot of conversation about how I'm supposed to do things. And I don't mean conversation as in chatter, but I mean just that knowing of, okay, no, the spirit tells me, and I say that a lot and people probably think I'm weird, but I'll say, oh, well, no, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me to do that. or no, I'm not supposed to do that. I say that a lot. And I do get funny looks from people like, what is she talking about? What does she mean the Holy Spirit said? Like, I listen to myself a lot. So what I had to do, Al, is retrain my brain to not think of the negative things that you would see on movies and TV, which is why I don't watch a lot of things. And I've gotten away from even knowing what those things are about on the movies, but looking more at the stories that regular humans like me talk about, things that they've experienced. Or for me, I can walk to the door of somebody's home. If I don't feel a good spirit, I won't walk in their door. I won't go in their door. So I'm very particular. I was with my younger daughter, and we were out going to some herbal shops for teas and different stuff. And we walked to the door of this one particular shop. I didn't know what it was all about. I just had found it on Google and it was in my neighborhood. We walked to the door. And when we opened the door, I was like, we're not supposed to go in there. And we didn't go in there. We got back in the car. And we left. And she said, well, why did you do that? And I said, well, I wasn't supposed to be in there. She said, well, how do you know? I said, I can't tell you. I just know.
Yeah, you'll know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll know. Yeah, you'll know. You'll know. So I can honestly say that most of the activity that I've experienced has been subtle. It's been kind, and it has been worth me paying attention to it. I don't, you know, kind of throw it off and say, well, that didn't happen, or that didn't make sense, because 1, 2, 3 ABC, we can't add it up in the regular world, because I realized that there are just things we're never out, you know, we're never going to be able to answer some questions, or we're not going to be able to get the answers to a lot of questions. And I'm okay with not knowing the answer, but just knowing how it serves us on some level.
Dawn, that's 100% right. I mean, you were talking about, you know, the smell, because, you know, I couldn't tell you how many stories I've had and people telling me that they had a mother that, that used to wear perfume like Chanel No. 5, and you know, and after they've passed, there's nothing in that house, you know, but then all of a sudden you smell Chanel No. 5 go past, you know, or
like it's fresh. Yes.
And that's so many times I hear that, you know, and, or also, you know, I've also found out, you know, people that keep a filthy house, also you're welcoming in an evil spirits. You know, if you're dirty and filthy and the evil, you know, preys on the weak. I do believe that.
It's true. And that's why I keep my mind very clear, because I do know that evil, you know, plays a big part on, you know, taking over people with, you know, negativity and with their mind weak, because that's a perfect playground right there. I made a couple of people laugh, and my daughter's going to laugh at me right now. But Al, I want you to know I am okay with that. So they laugh at me all the time, because there is a particular person that I am just, okay, I always said I'll never get married again, because I did it at 21 and I was like, okay, it didn't work out. I'm never going to get married again. So when I decided that, yeah, I think I am going to get married again, and I started telling people who I was interested in, and somebody said, but how do you know he's the one? I said, because my spirit wants to meet his spirit. And they said, but how do you know that? I said, because just like you've never met God, but you trust and you know that you know that you know. I said, you also have to know that somebody that you've never met before can also be the one for you. Because if I say my spirit wants to meet his spirit, I mean that.
That's awesome.
But most people look at you like, okay, she's a little weird, so let me move to the side. Or they make jokes. Or like my daughter, they go, okay, I got to go.
I have my own production company. You know, so I've done 100 weddings, you know, and I just knew doing these weddings, if this couple's going to last or not.
Right.
And if you're disrespectful to the bride at the wedding, it's not going to last.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy that it would even happen at the wedding and that you would catch it, you know, that you would see it. Mm-hmm. That no one should ever have seen anything like that. But you with the camera, you're going to pick up everything. And then here's the fun part. When you play it back, you're like,
do you want this in there? And they thought it was a funny moment. You know, I think, I don't think it's that funny, man. I mean, you're disrespecting your wife and you're doing it on camera. And, you know, family and friends are going to watch this video. Mm-hmm. And, oh no, man, put that out there. That's who we are, you know?
Yeah. There used to be a video that was floating around Facebook for a couple of years where this wedding was happening. And you know how sometimes when the lady will do the cake, they'll smash it on the face. She did it to her husband and he slapped her so hard. She fell on the floor. And when she got back up, she was crying. And I thought, oh yeah, that's not going to end real well. Cause her father should have been on him. Like, I don't know what, but when I say she did the cake lightly on his mouth. Now, obviously they didn't talk about it. And I'm sure he was offended because, you know, with his culture, you would never do that to an individual in that culture because the men are very, very dominant. So she just put the cake lightly on his face and he slapped the lady so hard she fell to the floor. This was not a pretend video. This was a real wedding. I had never seen anything like that in my entire life.
So when you talk about, your spirit can connect with his, I believe that 100%.
I love that you do the podcast that you do because a lot of people don't pay attention to the things that you're talking about as far as like how it's happened to them or for them. And so I think with your podcast, you'll get people to think a little bit more about, wow, wait a minute, that did happen. You know, those things do happen. I mean, I've heard people say that, you know, they've stayed in old, you know, houses that, you know, the floors, of course, creak and everything. And they've been asleep at night and they've been there with only one other person who was right with them, but they would hear like creaking on the floor and stuff. And it's like, you have to pay attention to those things. If they're not there to harm you or whatever, it's just that spirit is just kind of hanging out in the space that they probably once lived in. It's one of the reasons why when someone dies in a home or something, that sale of that home, you have to tell people that so that they know what they're getting into.
It's one thing I do see on this podcast when people share stories is they have nobody to tell their story to because nobody believes them, or they think, or they call them crazy or a kook or a nut or out there.
Or you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. You've been watching too many movies and you think you saw something. Yeah. Back then, nobody was thinking about putting cameras in their home or anything like that. So it's either you took that person's word or that kid's word, or you didn't believe them.
But, you know, it's a paranormal is the unknown. I mean, just you can't explain it. So and just like the smell, you can't explain that.
And it's all, and whenever it happens, and it only happens, I would say maybe every 3 or 4 years or something. But whenever it happens, it's never anticipated. I never know when. It's just, I acknowledge it though, when it does happen. And I used to just kind of go like, oh, okay, you know, no big deal. But now it's like, I start to go like, I wonder why, you know, it does make me curious. I wonder why.
It doesn't matter what podcast you have, like if it's on cooking or relationships or paranormal or anything. To me, if the podcast host has to believe in what they're doing, first of all, and if they don't believe in it themselves, I mean, why do you have that podcast out there? You know, and to be honest with your followers, you know, be truthful.
Yeah, right. And you'll have more success if you're really doing what it is that you're supposed to be doing instead of what maybe you think everybody else thinks you should be doing. You know, really, really live your truth of who you are and be able to be who you are without the worrying about the judgment of other people is where you really find that sweet spot in life to be able to want to just keep moving forward. But if you don't do something because you think, oh, well, if I say that, I'm going to be persecuted, or what's the new word? I'm going to be canceled. Yeah, that's what it is. You know, you're afraid you're going to be canceled by some group of whoever the cancelers are. I don't know who they are. but you're going to be canceled or something. You'll never be able to really live your truth. And so the thing about it is you don't want to leave this planet, in my opinion, knowing that you didn't serve out whatever it is that you were supposed to serve without worrying about what everybody else thought about you, but that you came, you saw, you lived, and now you moved on to whatever the next level was. Yeah. So that's why I keep a running bucket list of things that I'm going to accomplish, because I mean, why not?
So Angelica, did you grow up believing in ghosts? Not.
I definitely did. I know, you know, like when you're young and you know that you're dealing with like some type of anxiety, it's hard to separate like your anxiety from what you probably thought you saw. But, you know, while y'all were talking, I was thinking there's been some times where I've been in my childhood home and I'll get up in the middle of the night to go get some water or something. And like, I would catch myself like running back, running back to my room or thinking I saw a figure sitting down on the couch in the dark. Cause how the floor plan is set, from my room to the kitchen, I have to pass the living room to my left. But yeah, I do remember seeing like a man, and I couldn't tell if he feels like my grandpa that passed when I was younger, or if it was like another male figure, but I do remember that. And I just remember a lot of times at night or period when the lights are out, I would go from the kitchen to my room and like run and thinking I was either, cause I don't ever really, I don't think I'm a scary type of person, but like when you have that feeling that either something's following you or around you or chasing you, I definitely remember a lot of those nights, but I do believe in ghosts for sure.
Yeah, you don't know it. You don't know it. And because it comes to you sometimes in such a friendly way, you don't know it because it was just something that helped you along. And it's not until somebody brings up the question of has this thing ever happened to you that you then start to ponder if maybe you've experienced this. Because like she just said, she just remembered that. And it makes me even wonder, like, you know what, that probably was her grandpa, because I took care of my dad for quite a while when they were little. You know, I think she was probably about 7 or 8 years old when he died. Yeah. He didn't die in the home or anything, but he was always here. And that was his favorite thing to do, was to just sit on the sofa. Mm-hmm. That was literally his favorite thing to do, is just sit on the sofa and just sit there. And, you know, he didn't even watch TV or anything. He'd just be sitting on the sofa, just kind of either I would be in there talking to him or in the middle of the night, just to get up and just sit on the sofa because you were so young. Yeah.
See, that kind of validated my story, because I don't remember him sitting on the couch a lot. I do remember him being over here a lot. Yeah, I was about 7 or 8, but I do remember. So now, yeah.
What's some of your closing thoughts on what moving forward?
Well, moving forward for myself, I know that I'm just going to continue to, you know, live in that light of knowing that the spirits that have come to me in my 49 years has been very positive. It's been full of light. It's been there to guide me. And the thing that I would love to be able to say to your listeners is just to encourage them to pay attention to even the small things that happen, but to acknowledge it and, you know, be able to put something in place where they can celebrate it even. You know, some people get so afraid when they hear the word paranormal activity. That's why I stopped, you know, allowing my kids to watch some of those scary movies, because I didn't feel like they did a great representation of teaching us how to, you know, deal with spirits or to acknowledge the spirits or to be able to tap into spirits. So I would just encourage the listeners to even consider that. And Al, I thank you for even doing a podcast that brings up this conversation, because some people don't believe. So for those who don't believe, it's probably a challenge for them to even hear you talk about the things that you talk about. So congratulations to you to be bold enough to have this conversation with people, because there is a space exactly for what you're doing.
I appreciate that, because I do have family and friends at the paranormal, huh? You know,
But you know, I tell you, the way things have changed, you know, in the beginning of the podcast, we were talking about just how things have changed in the last few years, but there's so many now wonderful, and I'm thankful for the independent artists now, because we don't have to go through that red tape if we want to play a song by them, or we don't have to go through being copyright, you know, strict, or have our pages taken down or our podcast taken down. Because I think a conversation on independent artists, and even being able to talk about, you know, how they even, you know, decided to do that. But a lot of them are realizing that they don't have to go with the big industry to be big. They can make their own way, because guess what? We have social media now. So you can be a rock star in your own right just because you have social media. And then if you're an independent artist, you can pull in all of your own people to do your own concerts on your own time because you have social media. Back then, you had to rely on the record company to get you out there and to give you those bonuses that they made you pay back anyway. Now the independent artists are winning. I was reading about a few years ago when Stevie Wonder fired his attorney. The reason he fired his attorney is because he realized that the attorney that he had in all of the documentation, that even after Stevie Wonder passes away, he and his family get his royalties for 100 years. Stevie Wonder never knew that was in his contract until he got a new management team. Mm-hmm. And the management team started going through this. And the first thing they asked the attorney, did you give him this contract to read in Braille? Because he had in there that not only would he get paid for so long, but then even after he dies, his family will get 100 years of his royalties. And I just thought that was disgusting. But I'm so glad that now the new artists know, one, how to read those contracts. Two, they know how to go independent. Three, they know how to get their music up and earn their money and promote themselves and do their social media and get their own crowd going and keep all of the percentage of the money to themselves and pay their people accordingly to how they want to do it, instead of taking those dumb advances up front that they end up paying on the back end. And if they don't make it big, they end up bankrupt. So, well, we learned all that from Toni Braxton, didn't we? So, I mean, yeah, I love that back end of business. I love the business end of business. So, all these people, when I read about them, I'm going, oh my gosh, you needed somebody to. I just had a guy call me today to ask me to read a memorandum of understanding with a contract that I helped him to get with the school district. And I said, send it over to me. I'll have you an answer on what I think about it by morning. But people just, they don't want to read it because they don't comprehend what it's really, really, really saying. So when it says on there, you owe me money into perpetuity, they don't understand right. What that means.
Well, I want to thank you and Angelique for being on the show tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, definitely. On all the social media sites like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, we are Mother Daughter ISH, and it's underscore on the back of that for Instagram only. But if you put in Mother Daughter ish on anything, I've already tried and tested it, and it's all working just fine. They can listen to us on iTunes. Our podcast is hosted by Podbean, but of course, with our RSS feed, we're out on all of those. And like I said, right now, we've got a sneak peek out there. So if you want to listen to the sneak peek on how we even came up with this idea and where we're going with it. And I just want to say our real goal in the end is to build a community of 1 million women. And once we exceed that goal, we're going to go from there with it. But that's what our goal is a community of 1 million women. You're so welcome. Thank you for having us on.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Again, I would like to thank Dawn and Angelique from the Mother Daughter-ish podcast. It's available on almost anywhere you get your podcast. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another great episode. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghosts in the Valley podcast.